It's 12:06 and time for Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI. Good afternoon. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and we'd love for you to join today's conversation. So give us a call at 260-452-1185, or you can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And you can always post questions and comments and send us a message on our Facebook page, which is just Midday Matters. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and I'm joined in the studio today by two returning guests from Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne, Dr. Richard Johnson and Dr. Jack Dyer. Thank you so much for coming in, guys, today.
Thank you. Thank you for having us back.
And we also have Betty Fay, who's in the studio with us today, who is a student of yours at Mindfulness Matters. And we're going to talk a little bit about what that is exactly. But today's show is really going to be focused around de-stressing before the holidays, how to have a healthy mindset going into November, December, and as well as incorporating healthy eating habits, not just eating nutritious foods, but having a healthy mental mindset towards how you sit down when you're at the dinner table surrounded by family, and how you don't have to necessarily overdo it, but still have a good time eating. So before we get too far ahead of ourselves, Richard, I'll start with you. What is Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne, and how did you guys come into being?
It's an educational service that I set up in 2010 after I got my training in Massachusetts at the Center for Mindfulness. And that center teaches us to teach courses on mindfulness-based stress reduction. That's our primary course. But also, of course, we can focus on eating or whatever other topics we want to focus on. So I got that training in 2010, and I've been teaching since then. I just finished up my sixth and seventh classes with Jack Dyer this time. So that's how we got started with it. And I have a lot of training as a teacher before that. I taught at IPFW for many years. But the primary focus now is this helping people bring themselves into the moment. So that's what we're focused on. We're teaching now in Parkview. I've taught at Lutheran as well. So we're offering a service that helps people de-stress and feel better about who they are.
Great. And Jack, I'll kind of ask you the same question. What got you into working with Richard here with Mindfulness Matters?
Well, I had a history of having a mindful practice for a number of years, and that's where I learned about mindfulness-based stress reduction. And so I took the course in 2011 and was really taken by it and decided that I wanted to pursue teaching. And I just finished the training this summer. I had two different trainings kind of back-to-back. And Richard was kind enough to allow me to sit in on sessions last May and June. And so this is really my first real encounter with teaching. And we just finished our class just a week ago.
And how? Let's do a quick recap on that. How did the class turn out? And Betty might be able to speak a little bit about that, of how you experienced mindfulness classes and taking some time for yourself to work on being more present, as I understand it. What was your experience with taking these classes, Betty?
It's the best class I've ever taken, and I have a long history of continuing ed and other courses. And the interactive, engaged way the class was run, first of all, the time went so quickly. It mm-hmm. didn't seem like I thought, oh, this would be hard to sit here for a couple, 2.5 hours on an evening. And for one thing, the dynamics of the class were such that we were actually engaged in each other's lives. We were engaged in the intellectual matter, the information that we received. And then we had so many experiential things that included the physical, the yoga aspect, mm-hmm. the body scan. We just had so many physical aspects of the class that it stuck with me. Not only was it fabulous 2.5 hours, but I would go home all week, and it was with me all week. I was more alive. I've never had a class where I have not been able to let it go, where I kept applying it every day.
Mm-hmm. That's great. And so would you say that one of the things that stuck with you is some of the kind of healthy mindset towards food and eating that we're kind of focusing on today? What was your takeaway from those topics that were discussed?
One of the effects of the class that was so powerful for me was the mindfulness eating. And I found the exercise that evening was very deliberate and detailed. And then the next day, when I sat down to eat and did my normal, let's get this over with kind of thing, I thought, wait a minute. And that even yesterday, and the class finished like over a week ago, and yesterday I was running home between two events, and I thought, oh, I got to quick get lunch in here, heated up in the microwave, sat down, ready to just, you know, start eating away so I could get to my next event. All mm-hmm. of a sudden I said, wait a minute, I don't want to do this. And what that does and what that did for me is when I went to the next event, I was slowed down and fully there to talk to the person I was with. And had I kept that pace of going, you know, where we go, and shovel in the food and keep going, this mindfulness eating to me has changed everything. I'm very aware of what I'm eating, how I'm eating it. And it does, it makes a little bit of food go a long way.
So, Richard, let's talk a little bit about what exactly mindful eating is. That concept may sound a little meta to some folks that are listening. So how would you explain it to somebody for the first time being introduced to this topic?
Well, I'd say, first of all, that mindfulness means I'm here now. I'm aware of being here in this moment. And the other part that I think is important is that I accept what's happening. Because I could be present in the moment and very critical. That's mm-hmm. not mindfulness. So I'm here. I'm aware. I'm awake in the moment. I'm not mindless. I'm not on autopilot. And I'm whatever's happening is what's happening. And generally, I'm okay with it, even if it's unpleasant. So mm-hmm. that's mindfulness. So we apply that to eating. We use the word savor. In the class that we're going to be teaching in January, Jack and I, savor eating, savor living. So that gives us the sense that when I'm having this food and I'm seeing it on the plate and I'm bringing it in a fork or spoon or my hand to my mouth, I'm aware of that process. So it's very simple. We all have this tremendous capacity to be aware, but we also have this tremendous capacity to not be aware, to be someplace else, that I'm in the past or I'm in the future. So we'll say, for example, try a time where you're by yourself. That's often easiest. And I'm just going to say, oh, I'm going to spend this time. I'm not going to see how quickly I can get through it. And I'm just going to be in this present moment of tasting whatever this, you know, whatever this has to offer, smelling, you know, all of the senses.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Benny mentioned an exercise, and I know we want our listeners to be able to participate with this exercise. And we're not going to do it quite yet, because if you're listening, we'd like you to be able to grab some food and to learn along with us. So what do you, Jack, what do folks need to do to participate in this exercise that we're going to do in about the next 5-10 minutes?
Well, we need a piece of food that is small enough to hold in your hand and to look at, and later in the exercise to be able to put it comfortably in your mouth. And,
okay.
And so we were kidding, not a drumstick or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, no steak. All right, that sounds good. So again, we're going to get to that probably in the next 5 minutes of our program. If you have any questions or comments, we're talking about mindfulness and how that incorporates to our everyday, especially when we're eating, especially around the holidays. We'd love to hear from you, 260-452-1185. You can always email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm or post on our Facebook page. And if you have any healthy eating tips for the holidays, we'd love to hear those, and any ways to stay stress-free, especially around the holidays. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have a lot of good tips, and we would love to hear from you. So, Richard, this class that you all are teaching, you talk a little bit about food. Where does stress come in, and managing that stress, especially around holiday time? What do you advise for listeners who know that they typically have a stressful couple of months coming up ahead?
I think, first of all, to just be aware that that's a possibility. Perhaps not having seen family or whatever other things. Sometimes we're at our very worst with our families.
Right.
Sad to say, but true. So first of all, to have some awareness of what the possibilities are, I think mm-hmm. that's important. The other thing that we regularly say that's so simple, And when we're feeling stresses, just to take some deep breaths, just to be aware of the breath. Our practice is breath-based in the sense that and when Jack leads us through this exercise that people are doing, we'll start with the breath, because generally, if I'm aware of the breath, I'm not focused on all the things that are stressing me. So that is one of the most useful tips, and there's a bunch of research about that. The other thing is that when we're with people that can be stressful, sometimes I can just say, I'm here now. I'm accepting that I'm here now, that I'm not trying to be someplace else. So that's another thing that can be helpful to us. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important, especially the holiday times, but throughout the year, is the close connection between stress and emotional problems and food. Mm-hmm. And it's it can become a vicious circle. We have so many perceptions about food from our childhood. I know in growing up in my home, the way my mother got loved was for us to finish everything on the table.
And more.
and so we all have perceptions, and we all turn to food for comfort in times of stress. Mm-hmm. And that can be a vicious circle.
The term comfort food is there for a reason.
And
talking about stress and savoring what you're eating and being present and mindful of what's in front of you on your plate, I can imagine that if you're very stressed out and, you know, kind of just shoveling whatever in your mouth, that directly the amount that you're putting into your body can correlate to the amount of stress in your life. Is that a fair assumption?
It's absolutely true.
Right. With mindfulness, we actually begin to realize that we're becoming satiated, that we're becoming full. Yeah. And when we're not mindful, we just go right past that point of fullness to craving more food.
I just want to add a story from one of the participants last year. She was somebody in a lot of pain, chronic pain, zero to, you know, to 10. She was at a 7, 8, or 9 most of her life. And she gave herself every evening 2 cookies as, you know, sort of her reward for making it through a day. And she said that she ate that first cookie for the first time very mindfully. And when she finished, she didn't want the second one. That she had the experience by eating mindfully the one, that it was this equivalent of eating 2.
Then the one thing I've enjoyed is you see the color of food, you see the texture of food.
Yes.
It is almost an artistic experience. And it's just so much more meaningful than just eating the food.
Mm-hmm. 260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. We're joined in the studio today with Richard Johnson and Jack Dyer, who are from Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne here, and as well as Betty Fay, who took one of their classes recently and went through that experience. We're talking about healthy eating, having a healthy attitude towards food, especially embarking on this holiday season. We're going to be taking a short break right now on the program, but when we come back, we're going to be doing a mindful eating exercise. So if you have something like a raisin or a small piece of fruit, something that you can have just a little taste of, that would be great for this next exercise. So we'll be back in just a few moments here on Health 360 Midday Matters.
When gay rights advocates won big in Maryland, Massachusetts, Minnesota, and Washington State on Election Day, it snapped a long losing streak. Those who oppose same-sex marriage know it's still a hugely divisive and unresolved issue. I'm Jackie Leiden. Next steps in the gay marriage debate, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
You help pay for public education in Indiana, but from the Capitol to the classroom, the payback isn't always clear. You can find out how the state's policy impacts your family in our new State Impact Indiana Project, a local national collaboration between Indiana public broadcasting stations and NPR. You can hear the stories during Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition on NIPR, and dig deeper with a click on the State Impact logo at nipr.fm.
In 2009, Susanna Cahalan was hospitalized following a seizure and increasingly psychotic behavior.
That moment for me is the difference between sanity and insanity, and that moment where kind of my memory goes dark.
On the next Fresh Air, Cahalan talks about the rare immune disorder that was attacking her brain. She's written a new memoir. Join us.
Fresh Air, weekdays at 1 on WBOI. Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lutheran Hospital, serving patients and families with Northern Indiana's only heart and kidney transplant center. Information at lutheranhealth.net.
Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:22. If you're just joining today's program, we have Richard Johnson and Jack Dyer from Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne, and we have Betty Fay, somebody who has a participant of their classes and has taken some of the benefits. Today, we're talking about staying stress-free during the holiday season, as well as having a healthy attitude towards food as we are embarking on some rather large meals that are coming up ahead of us. I do want to say that we had a Facebook comment from John who says one of the ways that they reduce stress for Thanksgiving is that he has a large family. And so what they decide to do is everyone brings a side dish and the host just makes the meat or whatever is the main course. And that way everyone can give the dish that they're assigned the proper care and consideration it needs so that it tastes really, really good. And it's not just a scramble to the last minute to grab something from the store, one of the last things that's standing probably on Thanksgiving Day. So thank you, John, for commenting. And if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you, our listeners. 260-452-1185. Email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or you can be like John and post on our Facebook. So Jack, I understand we're about to do an eating exercise, a mindfulness eating exercise. So I'm going to turn it over to you so we can jump right into it.
Thank you, Sarah. First of all, I want to say, as Betty did, when we do this in our class, it's usually 20 to 30 minutes, and we don't have that luxury, so we'll be moving along a little quicker.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're driving, don't follow all the instructions because it'll include closing the eyes. We like to start with what we call a beginner's mind, and what we mean by that, pretend like whatever object you have selected to do this exercise with, pretend like you really don't know what it is and you're seeing it for the first time. In the class, sometimes we say, pretend like you're an alien that came down to Earth and you have this object. So being relaxed and taking some deep breaths, a couple deep breaths in and out, and then going to the normal breath, just feeling the breath entering the body and leaving the body. And again, if you're not driving, for right now, close your eyes gently and just be aware of the breath. The breath is almost breathing us in and out. There's nothing for us to do, but just notice the breath. And now, opening the eyes and taking the object that you have picked for the eating exercise and just hold it in your hand and look at it and see what there is to see looking at this piece of food. Is it, you can look at the size, you can look at the color, shape, anything that you see.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it, if you need to, turn it from side to side. And this is a So seeing is one of the senses that we try to engage in this exercise, and we try to engage nearly all of those. And now that you've done that, roll the object around with your fingers in your hand and feel the texture. This is what we call the feeling sense. Feel the texture of the food. Is it hard or rough or soft, spongy? Just what does it feel like? Is the surface smooth or is it rough? As far as the people here in the studio, is there anything that you're feeling?
I can feel the wrinkles in the raisin. Yeah, so it's a fun texture.
Well, I don't know what mine is, but mine is squishy.
Oh,
good. Okay. Now, gently bring holding the object in your fingers and bring it up to your nose, just under your nose, and breathing in and out with the mouth closed. See what aroma comes up. What does your object smell like? Is it pungent? Is it maybe it doesn't have any smell at all, or minimal smell? But just be aware. Just be aware of what the senses are telling you in this moment about the smell of the object that you're holding. Okay, and next, bring the object to your lips, but we don't want you to place the object in your mouth just yet. Just bring it to your lips, feel the object, the sense feeling of the lips on the object. And while you're doing that, pay attention to the inside of the mouth. Is anything going on inside the mouth that you are aware of?
I'm salivating.
Mm. Yeah, that's,
me too.
That's really interesting. I'm getting ready to put something in my mouth.
Yeah, right. And isn't that amazing how that works? Just the thought of food, the feel, the smell, the seeing, the feeling, and already the salivary glands are working as if you've eaten it. Mm-hmm. We're almost like Pavlov's dogs. Okay, so now that we've done that, let's go ahead and put the object in your mouth and perhaps roll it around on your tongue and from one side of the mouth to the other. And finally, after doing that, go ahead and rest it in between your teeth, but don't chew yet. Just rest it there. But while doing this, let's be mindful of what else is going on in the mouth. Is there more saliva? Is the mouth able to tell the texture? And is there any early sensation of taste, for example, that's arising?
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah. And now, if you're ready, we'll finally get around to chewing the object, but just very mindfully and slowly, and try to chew the object, but don't swallow the object just yet. And swallowing is interesting. It's partly voluntary. In other words, we have to set the intention to swallow. But swallowing, once it starts, is kind of automatic. We can't stop it once it started. So we don't want to swallow yet. Just chew down and just be aware of what's happening in the mouth and in the mind as we chew down. Oftentimes, there's a real burst of flavor at this time. And so we can ask ourselves, is this salty or sour or sweet? What are we seeing now in the mouth as we chew down on the food?
It's really sweet, and I want to swallow it. I'm really, really working hard to not swallow it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Richard, if that's the way it's going to be, then don't swallow, but set the intention to swallow, because we can't do anything with our muscles without setting an intention. 99% of the time, we don't know we're setting an intention, but the mind is actually setting an intention for every action that we do. So be aware of setting an intention, and now go ahead and initiate the swallowing. Now, as you do that, see what happens to the tongue, what happens to other parts of the mouth as you start to swallowing, and see what it feels like for the object to actually be transversing down the esophagus into the stomach.
Mm. Satisfying.
Is there any taste left in the mouth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It feels like there is a lot more than just a little piece of food.
Mm-hmm. Right. And normally, that taste would be the next bite and the next bite. Mm-hmm. But it's important to realize that the taste really does linger, and that's what we mean by savoring. So closing the eyes again, unless you're driving, and connecting with the breath again, just in and out, and just reviewing what we did. We engaged nearly all of our senses. The only one we left out was hearing. And as I was joking with Richard last night, you almost need Rice Krispies to engage hearing. But we engaged all of our senses in a very mindful way. Just be aware of that. And thank you for participating.
Yeah, that was really great. So when you teach this in a class, it takes... How long does that...
20, 25 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so we really are mindful.
So how do we incorporate that exercise into everyday meals? If you don't have, you know, if you are on the go, you know, and you have or if you have a larger meal, like a Thanksgiving meal, I mean, would the recommendation to do something as slow as that each time you sit down, or what do you think, Richard?
Well, one thing that's helpful is setting an intention, as Jack was just saying, before we eat. For example, in many families, there's prayer. But whatever it is that prepares us, we can prepare our minds. The mind, we really are eating as much with our minds as we are with our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
So setting an intention that I'm going to have a mindful eating experience. And we emphasize this in the eating and all of the things we do. We will go in and out of mindfulness. It's the nature of the human mind that mm-hmm. will, oh my gosh, I remember that I should do this, or I should have bought such and such and such and such for the meal. So that's going to happen. But what is so beautiful about mindfulness is we can keep coming back.
Mm.
So the idea in mind, maybe Jack has done this, but I've never done a whole meal 100% mindfully. what I would say is that to say, well, okay, having mindful moments makes this richer. I would also say that when we're eating with family, or friends, or however, wherever we're eating on Thanksgiving or when any other time, there's nothing wrong with paying attention to what people say. It's to savor the experience so that I don't have to see eating and listening as opposed. But there are times when I'm eating that I'll say, and, you know, people are talking, I'm glad they are, and I'm really enjoying whatever this food is. Because that's something I can do as a part of the experience of social eating.
Mm-hmm.
And while staying mindful on what's being said and listening carefully and entering into that conversation too. There's every moment we're just really have numerous sense experiences coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can't be mindful of all of them, but just being aware as best we can.
Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about this during the break of it's easy to forget to be mindful while we eat and to mm-hmm. just eat and eat and eat to feel mm-hmm. full when our mind is telling us that we're not full, but our bodies feel like we need more food. So let's talk a little bit about the addictive qualities of food and how we can combat those and have a, and enjoy a good meal, but also do so in a healthy proportion and a healthy way.
Yeah, I think there's several levels of addictive behavior or patterned behavior. Like I mentioned earlier, we carry from childhood and early in life patterns of eating that we just mindlessly do if we're not aware of them, and we might not be aware of the attachment of all that. But then more specifically, a lot of the foods that we eat, especially on the run, have their own addictive qualities. And the three that have been studied are salt and sugar and fat. I was mentioning that I heard on NPR a couple weeks ago that a person was talking about how these addictions to these foodstuffs happened eons ago because food wasn't plentiful, and so it served us well to become craving and addicted to certain kinds of food, because mm-hmm. when we got that kind of food, we wanted to take advantage of it. But the interesting thing was that now it's thought that actual drug and alcohol addictions use those very same ancient pathways that started by becoming addicted to salt, fat, and sugar. So, and then sugar has an additional feature in that it causes a very, very rapid outpouring of insulin from the pancreas. The sugar causes the blood sugar to go very high, which causes this outpouring. And then oftentimes, so much insulin comes out that the blood sugar dips way down below normal within the first 90 minutes or so. And then that prompts more hunger, and that can be kind of a vicious cycle too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so, you know, large holiday family meals kind of could potentially feed into that kind of addictive wanting more and more and more and not feeling full.
Right, right. But I would put that more in the patterned category, mm-hmm. that just eating patterns that we've learned.
Okay.
I know that when I was young and living in Kansas City, my mom made a pie. My grandma made a pie, and my aunt made a pie, and it was necessary for all of us to have all three of those pieces of pie. And as a young male, part of the point was to have the biggest pieces of pie I possibly could. I went to Europe when I was 20 and came back when I was 21, and really, I ate well, but I didn't eat as much.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back, and I kind of forgot, and so then all of a sudden, the meal was over, I was pretty full, and all of a sudden, there were these huge three pieces of pie in front of me. I thought, oh no, what have I done? I dutifully ate those, and I had to lie down for a couple of hours. So anyway, that was a pattern, and I didn't really recognize, didn't remember that pattern. So the patterns are there, and they're powerful, and they're socially engineered. We can be very critical of ourselves if we've gained weight or whatever else is going on in our lives, but patterns are set often before we're verbal, before we have any idea what it means. Mm-hmm. So instead of being unhappy about ourselves, we could just recognize these are patterns. And one thing I want to say about the science of it is these, particularly fat, sugar, and salt, releases dopamine. So it is not only like a drug experience, it is a drug experience.
Yes.
So, and you know, you can stop, it's possible for people to stop having alcohol or whatever else, but it's not possible to not have food. So one of the things we're really working at is mindfulness says, okay, I do have patterns. I can look at the pattern. I can experience the pattern while I'm eating and say, oh, well, today, Richard, you just overate, you know, whatever these, you know, whatever, you just had a bunch of potato chips because you can't just have one. Or we can say, okay, today I'm going to have one. And just look at what that does to me and experience that instead of, you know, what all the other things that we can, so that we're developing through mindfulness choices. We have no choices when we're mindless.
Mm-hmm.
We simply do whatever we've been programmed to do. When we're mindful and say, oh, I can stop and look at this and not be critical. Oh, no, I did a bad thing, another bad thing. But just to say, oh, This is my pattern. That's something that mindfulness allows us to do. And we know that when we eat mindfully, we tend to overeat. Mm-hmm.
Tend not to overeat.
260-452-1185, or you can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. If you have a question or comment, we're talking about being mindful while we eat this holiday season and how that's going to potentially make us feel a little bit more full and not overdo it during Thanksgiving and Christmas and other holidays that we'll be participating in. And if you have any suggestions or tips on ways that you stay stress-free during big holidays, if you have a big family or you're going to an event with a lot of people, we'd love to hear that as well. You can give us a call at 260-452-1185, email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm, or post on our Facebook page. We're going to take a short break from the news, but we'll be back with more of Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI in just a few moments.
For decades, America has spent billions of dollars so the military can protect oil interests in the Middle East.
As we become quasi-energy independent, it's likely, I think, that there'll be questioning here in the U.S. Do we really need to carry that load?
The new energy geopolitics and how it changes our foreign policy. Today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOY News. Incoming Governor Mike Pence is heading west this week to get his bearings as he shifts from the legislative branch to the executive. Pence's transition team announced on Tuesday he would travel to a meeting of the Republican Governors Association in Las Vegas and later to a training session for new governors being conducted in California by the National Governors Association. Pence spent the last dozen years in Congress and will be faced with much different challenges as he moves into overseeing Indiana's many state agencies. Pence has appointed longtime aide Bill Smith to lead his transition efforts and is expected to continue building his administration as he prepares to take the governor's office in January. Meanwhile, the Indiana House GOP has selected a representative from Crawfordsville to lead the powerful Ways and Means Committee. As Indiana Public Broadcasting's Dan Goldblatt reports, Tim Brown now has the daunting task of preparing a budget for the legislature to debate.
House Speaker Brian Bosma says his choice for the leader of the Ways and Means Committee was not an easy one, and says his pick of Representative Tim Brown was based partially on Brown's medical background.
It's clear that the role of health care is taking an increasing role in the Ways and Means Committee.
Bosma says the state will face many challenges implementing the Affordable Care Act, but says neither him nor Chairman Brown has decided the best way to apply portions of the law in Indiana. Brown says while there will be many priorities in the upcoming budget, he already knows what he wants to put first.
You know, number one is K-12 education. It's part of our Constitution. It's part of our being. It's part of what we all feel passionately about.
When asked about the 10% income tax cut Governor-elect Pence wants to put into place, Brown says he will need to look at the April revenue forecast to determine how the cuts could affect the state's fiscal shape. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Dan Goldblatt in Indianapolis.
Survivors of a deadly Indianapolis explosion are looking for answers as they try to move forward with their lives. Some residents say they're frustrated by the pace of the investigation into the blast. Investigators are focusing on natural gas-fueled appliances as they search for the cause of Saturday's explosion. The blast killed two people, leveled two homes, and left dozens more uninhabitable. And a new state impact study is outlining the economic benefits of airports in the Hoosier State. The study released by Kinexis Indiana, the Aviation Association of Indiana, and NDOT says the state's airports collectively account for more than 69,000 jobs and $14 billion. The study includes the impact from the 6.5 million air passengers that pass through the state each year, along with air freight. David Holt with Kinexis Indiana says airports are key to positioning the state as a logistics leader, and in places like Fort Wayne, he says there's room to grow.
I would say that you're important not just for the movement of people, but definitely for the movement of freight. Now, there's a lot of extra capacity at the Fort Wayne Airport, and we need to utilize that capacity.
The impact study accounts not only for direct contributions for on- and off-site airport businesses, but also indirect and residual economic activity in communities surrounding Hoosier airports. You're listening to Midday Matters here on 89.1 FM.
Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI. The time is 12:45. I'm Sarah D'Elia in the studio today, joined by Richard Johnson and Jack Dyer, who are of Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne here in town. And we're talking about ways to stay stress-free during this holiday season and how that incorporates to your eating habits and your eating patterns and ways to not overdo it, especially with Thanksgiving coming around the corner. If you'd like to be part of the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page with any comments or questions and send us an email at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And in the studio, we're also joined today by Betty Fay, who participated in a recent session with Jack and Richard. And you were talking a little bit during the break, Betty, about non-judgment being one of the things that kind of hit home for you. Talk a little bit about that and how that kind of changed things for you as far as your perspective.
Over and over in mindfulness, the stress is, or the emphasis is on being aware and being friendly with yourself. And it is not about judging yourself and being hard on yourself. And I was just saying, you know, if I was judging myself and I overate and I said, well, you know, I just blew it, I might as well just keep going. But the difference is you just go, oh, I overate. I'm aware of that. That's a pattern. And then just move on. And Jack, I think it was, no, Richard used the term, you sort of escort yourself back to yourself. Hmm. It's just really non-judgmental awareness. It makes you feel good. It's a neutral feeling. I should say that. It's just a neutral feeling. So it neutralizes a lot of things.
That's great. And we were talking a little bit also, I bet a lot of families, especially larger families that are going to be gathering next week, will be having some heated conversations as that topics, political or otherwise, come up during large family gatherings. And I was hoping that we might be able to talk a little bit about, for our listeners, if they get engaged in a conversation that is, you know, clearly going to a negative place that they don't want to go to. You can't change someone else's point of view necessarily, but you can change how you are feeling. And so, Richard, any tips on how to de-stress yourself and make sure that you're taken care of, even if you can't finish a conversation with somebody that's going a little out of control?
I would emphasize, as before, setting an intention that I'm going to come into this before, and Uncle Bill or whatever is going to, you know, may say this or that, so that I'm aware. I mean, some things are surprising to us, but when patterns exist, they exist. And so we can be at least aware of the patterns up to that point. What my approach to difficult areas, political, social areas, is to do a lot of smiling. That when someone brings something up, I don't need to engage in that. To me, eating is a time where it's not appropriate to argue or to go through stress. That it messes up our whole system. Stress shuts down our gastrointestinal system, so it's not a good idea. So my approach has been for many years, and not always, but for many years, is to not engage in stuff that I believe is not going to take us where we want to go. So, life will have conflicts. It's not a problem, and there are places to have discussions, but it is not helpful for people to get caught. This is one of the things that mindfulness teaches, is we don't have to struggle. We don't have to make things difficult. So I think that's one of the most important of our mindfulness intentions, is to come into a meal to enjoy myself. Mm-hmm. One of the things that one of my teachers said is, you have everything that you need to be happy in the moment. And that's an approach to life that has gotten me through a lot of difficult situations.
Mm-hmm. And I think, too, I want to stress that one of the tenets of stress reduction is to realize there are external stressors, like family dynamics, but stress really is an internal event. And that's where, if we're mindful, we can make the proper choice and choose not to become engaged. We always think Uncle Bill said this and that did this to me, or Uncle Bill did this to me. And in mindfulness, that's just not true. We have that choice.
Well, I like how you describe stress as an event, because it's something that you can go to if you want to, but you don't have to, you can decline if you don't.
Yes. I'm not going there tonight.
Exactly. That's an interesting way to approach it. 260-452-1185, or you can email us at middaymatters@nipr.fm. We have just about 9 minutes left in today's program. So if you have any tips or suggestions on how you plan on keeping your cool around the dinner table, this Thanksgiving holiday or any other holiday coming up or any other large event, we'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, you can always post on our Facebook page, which is just Midday Matters. And before we get too ahead of ourselves and the program's gone, let's talk a little bit about the classes coming up and how folks can get registered if they're interested in doing that.
Jack and I will be teaching three classes in January, February. One of them is Savor Eating, Savor Living, and that's, we're using a book called Savor, and that book takes us through how to be stress-free in many situations, in eating and other situations, and also it gives us a lot of the basic information about what is eating and what is its relationship to health. So that all of our classes are at Parkview Women's Center. Savor Eating, Savor Living will be Wednesday evenings, 6 to 8:30. Beginning January 9th and ending at the end of February on the 27th. And this class and the other two I'll talk about, there are free orientations, and we'll talk in these orientations about what these classes offer. The first one is on Thursday evening, the 6 to 8:30 p.m., January 3rd, and the second one is on Saturday, 1 to 3:30 p.m. on January 5th. The other two classes are our regular mindfulness-based stress reduction classes, and they do have a component of mindful eating, but only in two of the eight classes. Both classes focus on mindfulness. Both classes focus on learning methods of meditation, sitting, walking meditation, a lying down meditation that Betty mentioned earlier called the body scan. We do some gentle yoga. All of those will be in all three classes, but the Savor Eating, Savor Living class, that will focus, there will be an eating experience in every class. Mm-hmm. The other two classes are called Let Go of Stress. They're also at the Women's Health Center at Parkview North. That's Monday evening, 6 to 8:30 p.m., January 7th through February 25th, or Saturday, 1 to 3:30 p.m., January 12th through March the 2nd. And for these classes, we have the same orientations that Thursday night and that Saturday afternoon, the 3rd and the 5th. Now, to pre-register, there are two ways to do that. One is you can email mindfulnessmattersfw@gmail.com, mindfulnessmattersfw@gmail.com, or you can call 260-693-7106. 260-693-7106, and Sarah will be so kind, I'm sure she always is, to let us know, make that available.
Sure, that'll be on our Facebook page.
I just wanted to add a couple of things. All of these classes will share a common date for a day-long retreat. Mm-hmm. And
that's February 17th.
February 17th.
Sunday, the February the 17th.
And because all of this is starting just after the new year, we're looking at possibly having an orientation sometime late in December, because a lot of people are just getting back from traveling that first week. And mm-hmm. But that will be on the website. We haven't selected that date yet.
And we have just about 5 minutes left in today's show, and we have John, a caller online one, who wanted to ask a question. John, welcome to Midday Matters.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
Okay, I have a question regarding this patients who have who are diabetic. You know, the stimulus that you have in your mouth for sweets. Can we what I try to do is just try to chew some a sweet and then hold in the mouth for maybe a minute or something, and then spit it out, you know. That gives me a lot of satisfaction for sweetness, and then I can reduce my diabetic kind of levels down, I guess. So what's your thought about it, you know?
Well, first of all, I would say congratulations for being so mindful that you came up with that. It sounds like a very good plan, because you're keeping the sugar stimulus to a minimum, and yet getting the satisfaction. People who are taking medications for diabetes, of course, need to control their sugars as well as possible, because not only is high sugar a problem, when the sugar gets too low, then that naturally will stimulate the craving for sweets, and the need for sweets. But your plan sounds very good.
All right, thank you, John, so much for calling and being a part of the show today. We have just about 3 minutes left in the program, and I want to do a quick recap for people that joined us maybe a little bit later in today's show. Starting with you, Jack, any quick tips for folks that know that they might be having a holiday, a stressful holiday season? What can they keep in mind before they sit down at the dinner table?
Well, I think especially with Thanksgiving coming up, I want to say, with mindfulness, whether it's mindful eating or mindfulness in general, it's natural for the quality of gratitude to come up. And so at the time of Thanksgiving, there's no better time than to be aware of the gratitude. And the other thing is, there's so many diet plans, exercise plans, and they require a lot of effort, and many are just very, very difficult to keep with. With mindfulness, there is no striving, and in fact, we don't suggest making weight loss a primary goal. We suggest just being mindful and mindful of health, and listening to the body. The body knows how much we should eat, and it even knows what we need and what we don't need to eat. If we have a low potassium, the body will tell us that we need citrus fruits and we need potatoes. It will just come naturally. If you're in a diet plan, an exercise plan that's working for you, great. But if you've been discouraged with that, just mindful eating might be the path that's best for you.
Mm-hmm. And Richard, I'd like you to give the phone number and the email address for folks to register to the class one more time before we let you guys go.
The phone number is 260-693-7106, and the email is mindfulnessmattersfw@gmail.com.
Great. And those classes are starting again in January.
Yes, they are.
Okay. All right. And we'll have all that information posted on our Facebook page after the show. Richard, Jack, and Betty, thank you so much for joining us today on Health 360.
Thank you.
You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. We're streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOI Fort Wayne and WBKE North Manchester, a service of Manchester University. Thanks very much for all of our callers and listeners and emails for the show today. We will be podcasting this edition of Health 360, as we do every Midday Matters, on our website at nipr.fm. Thanks so much again for listening. We're coming up on 1 o'clock, and Fresh Air is up next.